today. I'm glad that you are here. We welcome you to Destiny Church. It's so good to see many of you here, and I see a few new faces here this morning. Maybe you're here visiting your family for this Christmas holiday, and it's always good to have you if you're in town. It's always good to have my family here, and they're back there in the back. It's good to have my mom and dad and my sister and brother-in-law and my niece here. They're on the very back. Can you guys just raise your hand back there? You hear me talking about a lot of the stories. Yes, that's him. Blaine right there. That's who you blame. I gave you my dad's phone number a couple weeks ago. You can call and talk to him, but he didn't like what I said in that sermon about my dad making me fight when I was a kid. You go up there and talk to him about that. He can explain himself to you. He said, I can't believe you did that. I was like, hey, it's not the first time, Dad. Really, it isn't. Today, we're really 99% of the things that we teach here are based on series. We do a lot of series here. We just came out of a series called Overcoming Tough Times. Of course, last week we had our Christmas service. Today is one of those sermons that kind of falls in between the next series and the series that just ended, but I believe it can be a good follow-up for the series that we just finished up, Overcoming Tough Times. And I want to talk to you about this thought of falling forward. I'm not going to speak to you a long time today. Some of you like those sermons of five-minute bits, don't you? Some of you, really like you said last week, like, Pastor, that's the best sermon I ever heard you preach. I don't know how to take that. But anyway, they were in segments of 5 to 7 minutes, and today I'm not going to spend a long time, but I do want to give you some really good thoughts I thought the Lord shared with me on falling forward. We know that Peter was, I'm going to talk a lot about Peter's life today, and Peter was a disciple, one of the first five disciples ever chosen when God chose Peter, and his name was Simon back then. His name was Simon, and of course God gave him the name Peter, and God was talking to his disciples one day, and it was Peter who was Simon at the time. He stepped up and said, you are the Lord, the Most High. You are Jesus Christ, the Son of the God, the living God, the Lord of the Most High. And Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, you are so blessed. He goes, because no one has revealed this to you except for my Father on heaven. I know that you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's revealing to you who I really am, more than just a great teacher, more than just a great prophet, that I am the Messiah. I am the only begotten Son. And as he said this, he said, Peter, man, this is a great revelation for you because you figured this out on your own heart and your own spirit. And he even says this, Peter, upon this rock, I shall build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he gave him this name, Peter. And he went from Simon becoming the new name of Peter. Now, names were very significant back in those biblical days because it really brought forth meaning. And his meaning of the word Peter was the name Petros, which is where we get the name for the word rock. Okay, and so when you think of Peter's name, what's the first thing you should think of when you think of Peter's name? What is it? Come on. It's kind of fits Peter, doesn't it? I mean, one of the first things we think of when we think of Peter, he was really the first Rocky. That's what it was right there. You know, his name was Rock. You know, and I just imagine in my heart, because you guys know I have a very colorful imagination, and that when I think of the word Peter or Rocky, I just think of Jesus. From now on, he just talked to him like this. All right, Pete, you know, Rock. You know, I just that's the way I pictured him, okay? That's just the way I see things. But I could see he was saying, all right, Pete, from now on, you're going to be called a rock, man, and you're going to be the gates of hell will not prevail. And he went on to talk about this great thing that Peter had done. And we see that, and we think of Peter as this glorified disciple, don't we? We really do. Our mind, we think of this burly fisherman who was called of God and how God converted him. He became this really big giant of the faith. And when we see Pete, we see here, he was a rock, man. Simon became Peter. He ate his Wheaties, and God blessed him. And, man, he became Rocky, okay? And so we see this, but we don't realize that Peter was one of the most characters in the Bible who failed the most, really. Scripture has all kinds of stories of people failing in the Bible. I really love that about Scripture because it doesn't paint a picture of everything rosy, but it talks about people who have failed and people who have fallen in their life because really that's what you and I can relate to, can't we? We can relate to people who've fallen. I can't relate to anybody who's never fallen. I can't relate to anybody who's perfect. I can't relate to anybody who's never messed up. But I can relate to people who's messed up in their life. I can relate to people who have fallen. And so Scripture, all through Scripture, Jesus uses people who have fallen, but yet got back up. And I believe that we've got to learn this principle in our heart that God is worried about us falling forward. He's not so much worried about us falling, but are we falling forward? I used to have this false theology in my mind growing up. Thanks, Mom and Dad, that you're here. I want to give us credit. I'm just playing. Don't blame them. Blame the church we used to go to. But anyway, You want to edit that on the tape just in case some of them are listening. Anyway, we had this false theology growing up that, you know, everything we did was wrong. Anybody went to church like that when you was growing up where it was fun, it was wrong, you know, and it was fun, it was wrong, and everything you did was wrong. You know, I'm like, I just want to have fun, you know. I didn't understand. I didn't see the wrong in it. And I'd be like, why is this wrong? And my dad was like, I don't know. Pastor said it was wrong. We don't do it. And so I had a hard time with theology. My whole theology was based on this, that I had the sin bucket. Some of you have heard me talk about the sin bucket. I carried this big sin bucket around, and I would, you know, let my sin bucket get really, really full. And then once I couldn't carry the sin bucket anymore, I'd carry it to the altar. And I'd dump it out, and I'd go, God. And I'd cry, and I'd snot, you know. And I'd feel so much better because I emptied my sin bucket. And then I walked out of there. I would go out and I'd carry my sin bucket again. And I would just walk around. And until that sin bucket got full, too heavy, is when I came back, you know. And I didn't realize that, and I felt like I had to always start over again in my relationship with God. I felt like anytime I went to go to the altar and empty that sin bucket, I was going back to square one in my life. I felt like I was going back and I was not growing. I was always stuck at a certain point. And it wasn't until I realized that our relationship with Jesus Christ is not about, it's not about me falling. It's about how many times do I get back up. It's about me going forward. Matter of fact, he said in the scripture, if anyone wants to be his disciple, we must what? Take up our cross. How many times? Daily, and follow after him. That we are called as Christians that we get back up and go forward. That when I travel along, and we see this happen in all of our lives, that we get along this journey. As we go along a journey, we start getting higher and higher. We start growing and maturing. We start doing this for God, and we grow in this part of the faith, and we get higher and higher. And then we fall down, and we mess up. We make a great mistake, and we think, oh, man. I got to go back here down to step one, you know. And that's not theology at all. The theology is this, that God has called us, that when we fall down, we get back up. I get back up to God. I'm going forward. I've learned that I'm not supposed to do that thing. I'm repenting of that, and I'm going forward. I'm not going to have to go back to square one, but I get back up, and I move forward in my faith. It's called growing. It's called maturing. And we got to learn that when we fail, that we fail forward, that we fall forward. And Peter was a great example of this. You know, Peter, as you look in his life, he made a lot of mistakes. And I think no greater example can we find someone who messed up more in a 24-hour period than Peter. It was in the last 24 hours before the crucifixion that we see Peter messing up a whole bunch. The Lord comes, and Jesus calls his last disciples together, and he says, hey, we're going to have a last supper here. And he's been explained that what's happening to him, what's going to happen in the next few hours. And he goes down and starts to wash his disciples' feet. What's Peter do? He picks a fight with Jesus. I mean, come on, you know. Talking about a person who's kind of, you know, boneheaded. Here's Peter. He's picking a fight with Jesus. Jesus, dang, you washing my feet? Who do you think you are? I should be washing your feet. You're the master. I'm the servant. And Jesus has to publicly chastise him. It's like, Peter, Peter, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of the kingdom of heaven. And, of course, Peter realizes, I just got told in front of all the disciples. I just got put in my place. He's like, Father, don't just wash my feet, but wash my whole body. And we see where Peter is always making mistakes, and he leaves there. And Jesus calls Peter and a few others close to him to go with him to pray in the garden because he knew his hour was drawing near. And he says, guys, can you just tarry with me just for a little bit? Just pray with me. And, of course, we find Peter with the rest of them, what are they doing? Falling asleep. I mean, Jesus calls a prayer meeting. He only takes a couple of his close disciples with him, and he can't even get these guys to stay awake, even though he's prophesying to them that the hour is drawing near, that I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be crucified, and the Son of Man is going to be taken away from you. He's prophesying to them, teaching them this, and they're over there, you know, boy, this is a good spot right here. I think I'll just go to sleep. So Peter's falling asleep in the all-night prayer meeting with Jesus. Not a very good example, is it? We see where they came and got Jesus and took him away when Judas betrayed him, and the soldiers came to take him away. What did Peter do? Hot-headed Peter took his sword out and did a Mike Tyson, cut off the guy's ear. Boom, right there. Just cut off the guy's ear. He got mad, cut the guy's ear off. What's Jesus do? Pete. All right, Rock. You know, what are you doing? He picks the ear up and, of course, puts it back on the guy's head and heals him. But here's Peter making another mistake. He just cuts the guy's ear off out of sure his motives were in the right place, but it made him messed up. Then we see where Jesus even told him, you're going to deny me three times, Peter? And people are like, never, God, I'll never deny you. And, of course, they take him away. And Peter's kind of hanging around the crowd just trying to see what they're going to do to the Savior, to Jesus. And as people start to recognize him, and they say, wasn't you with him? Wasn't you one of the disciples? He said, no, I never knew the guy. Not me. You ain't lynching me up right there. It's not me. I don't know the guy. And he moves around to the other side of the crowd, and he's there for a little bit, and someone says, hey, wasn't you one of the disciples? Somebody else says, wasn't you one of the disciples? He's like, quit saying that. It's not me. I didn't. I don't know who he was. And so he moves around to another part of the crowd to find somebody else recognizes him. Wasn't you one of the disciples? And so to prove his point, he starts cussing this person out. Where he goes, he starts cursing. I mean, he's just cussing and cursing, trying to prove the point that I'm not a disciple. I mean, he's going above and beyond. Not only is he denying Christ three times, but then he goes and cusses this person out so they can prove the fact that he's not a disciple. And he flees from there. So we've seen this 24-hour period of time where Peter's just messing up, man. I mean, he couldn't do anything right. He's falling, and he keeps making mistake after mistake after mistake to the point where even Jesus told him, Peter, you're going to make this mistake, and he said, no, I won't do it, and he did it anyway. And we see this happening time and time again in Pete's life where he was always falling. He felt so bad that he gave up on being a disciple. He's like, man, I've blown it. I'm not a disciple anymore, and went back and got his union card and joined back the Fisherman Association. And he decided to go back and be a fisherman again. And he became that's what he did for a living, was a fisherman. And so he began to fish again. And it was on that fishing trip that he began to go out and fish again, thinking, I've lost all my dreams. I've lost the Messiah. I've failed him. No longer worthy to be called his disciple, that we see where Peter saw the Messiah. They saw him on the shore. He was about approximately 100 yards away from the shore. They're like, isn't that Jesus? Peter looks and he recognizes him and says the word of God says that Peter just jumps in right there. He doesn't wait for the nets to be pulled in. He doesn't wait for the boat to go to shore. He jumps in right there and swims to shore to see the Savior. See, there was something about Pete that even though he failed many times, he loved the Savior. He loved God so much that he wanted to be with him, that to the point where he even jumped out of the ship and swam to the shore. This isn't the first time he's done this. Remember when Jesus walked on the water in the middle of a storm? It says they saw Jesus walking on the water. And when Peter's like, Jesus, is that really you? If it is, you know, call me to come to you. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on water. Remember, he took his eyes off, he sank, and Jesus picked him back up. But Pete always had a way. He always wanted to be close to the Savior. He always wanted to find intimate time with him. You know, he loved Jesus so much. I mean, we can't find a person in Scripture who loved Jesus any more than Peter. I mean, Peter was willing to fight for him, to make mistakes for him, to shoot off his big mouth in the wrong time. I mean, Pete had a lot of good intentions, really. If you look at his heart, he really had a lot of good intentions, didn't he? But he just seemed to make mistake after mistake after mistake. But one thing we see in Pete's life is that failure was not final for Peter. But it's the fact that he went forward, and when he fell forward. Look at the scripture we're going to look today in John chapter 21, verse 15. This is after he jumps ashore, and he's having breakfast with Jesus on the shoreline there. Look what it says here. This is their first encounter, though, okay? Let's remember this. This is their first encounter since Jesus had been crucified, since he had denied Jesus three times. This is their first encounter together. And look what Jesus says to him. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, then feed my lambs. And in verse 16, we see the same thing. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord. In verse 17, Peter, do you really, really love me? He's like, yes, 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 God, I really love you. And I think this is so important for us to understand that the first words out of Jesus' mouth to Peter was, Peter, why did you make a mistake? I told you, I warned you that you were going to deny me three times. I just told you like 4 or 5 hours ahead of time, and yet you still did it. When are you going to learn, Pete? When are you going to learn to quit swinging that sword around until I tell you? Pete, when are you going to learn to quit opening up your mouth and insert foot? Peter, when are you going to learn? Well, Peter, it wasn't this chastising, was it? It wasn't this chastising that you and I are really good about doing to each other. It's not this chastising that you and I are really good about judging each other with. But Jesus said, Peter, I know what you're thinking, Pete. You're waiting for me to say it. You're waiting for me to correct you. Peter, you're waiting for me to chastise you. You were here, Pete, like a man. You're ready to take your spiritual spanking. I'm ready to give it to you. And he says, but Pete, this is my words to you. Do you really love me? Yes, Lord. No, Peter, do you really, really love me? You see, Jesus wasn't concerned about his failure. He was concerned, Pete, do you really love me? He was concerned with his heart. And he was saying to him, Pete, it's okay, because if you really love me, then we're going to be fine. Our relationship is good. I'm not going to chastise you, Pete. I'm going to love you. Matter of fact, he even commissions him right there, then feed my sheep. What's he saying? Then be a disciple. Pete, be a disciple. Pete, if you really love me, then go and be a disciple. Don't give up. Don't go back to your fishing business that you know I've called you not to be a part of. Don't go back and take a union card and go back to those guys. I've called you to be a part of my union, the 12 disciples. I've called you to go and to spread the word of the gospel. Pete, don't give up. You failed, but Pete, go forward. Fall forward. Don't fall backwards. Fall forward. And Pete took this, and we know this was life-changing for him. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by the people that hang around, isn't that true? We can tell a lot. We tell our kids this all the time. You hang around the wrong crowd, you do the wrong thing. So we don't want you hanging around the wrong crowd. There's a time and place, I know, when you can't avoid those things, but when we're choosing our good friends, we don't choose good friends who are bad influences on our life. We want to choose friends who are going to help you make positive decisions in your life. We want you to be around friends who are going to surround you and make you be better, not pull you down. And so we can find out a lot about a person by the people he hangs around. We find out a lot about our Savior by this scripture right here in Exodus 3:15. It's a scripture we found used more than one time throughout the New and Old Testament. And God also said to Moses, say to Israelites, because he's asking God, who do I say sent me? God, Moses saying, God, who do I tell has sent me to speak on your behalf? And look what God speaks to Moses. Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. What is his name forever? His name forever is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What's his name forever? We find three things that he's attaching his name to. As a matter of fact, this is not the only time we see this scripture used. This illustration is used in the Old and New Testament multiple times. We see this reference there. This is my name forever, the name by which I am remembered from generation to what? Generation. That means it lasts forever. From generation to generation, from generation to generation, we are to pass on to our children that our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He attached himself to him. And as I look at that, I think, boy, that's pretty big company, isn't it? Because you're realizing this is good news for you and I. Because Abraham, was a liar. Isaac was a loser. And Jacob was a person who struggled with lust in his life. And this is who Jesus says. This is who God says, I want you to attach. I'm the God of a loser. I'm a God of a liar. And I'm a God of a person who struggles with lust. Why? Because he's our God, too. He's a God who, even though we fail, he says, I'm still your God. I'm still your God. I'm just not God of the spiritual giants, but I am God of the person who fails. I'm the God of the person who keeps struggling day to day to do the right thing. I'm still the God of these people. And if you will just seek after me, do you really love me? Are you striving to change your life? I will be with you. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 11. I love this thought of Paul. Look what Paul says to him. He's preaching to the Corinthians church, and he pulls out some things for an example to use. He's not saying this is the only catch-all of catch-all sins. He's saying there's a lot of things that are sins, and he begins to name off some of these sins. And he's preaching to the church now. Can you imagine these people saying, amen, hallelujah. Do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is not the unlist. There's a lot of things on here. He could have been talking all day, talking about things the Word of God says we're not to do. And what's happening here is he's speaking, all the people who think they're holier than thou, all the people who think, yeah, amen, there's amen, amen. You tell them, Paul, yeah, Paul, amen, amen. Then he turns to that crowd and says this, and such were some of you. Don't you love that? I mean, I love that Paul says, and so were you. You're saying amen to this crowd. Like, yeah, I preach to them, but I'm preaching to you because you were just as bad as they were. You were in the same boat that many of them were and still are. But you were washed. So he says, but as such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He's saying you were sanctified. You were washed in the blood. But you made just as many or bigger mistakes than these guys made. And he's using it for example that God is calling us. It's not about our failure. It's about us going forward through our failure. It's not about how many times I fall, but it's how many times do I get up and go forward. God is calling me to go forward. So next time Satan whispers in your ear, you're not good enough. You know what I want you to do? This is what I want you to do. Next time Satan whispers in your ear, you're not good enough. You call yourself a Christian. Who do you think you are? And when he whispers in your ear and says, you're not good enough, this is what I want you to scream back to him. Who is? None of us are. Bottom line is, none of us are good enough. None of us got it all together. But it's through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. It's through his grace and mercy that we receive the right relationship with Jesus, that we have been redeemed. And even though we fall, the righteous man gets back up. He says, even though the righteous falls even seven times, we get back up and we go forward through God's grace and through his mercy. So what about Peter? You know, I wish I could have been with Jesus when he went disciple hunting. Don't you? Don't you wish you and I could have been there, knowing what we know now, that we could have been with Jesus when he went disciple hunting? And he goes, I like that guy over there, Peter. I'm like, Jesus, not Peter. He's a fisherman. He's got bad BO, okay? Smells like fish all the time. He's got a hot temper. He shoots off his mouth way too much and way too early before he listens and thinks things through. Not Peter. He's the wrong candidate for you. He's uneducated. Just a common fisherman. He's not the person you want to be your disciple. We would have disqualified him early on, wouldn't we? What about Matthew? He went to Matthew and says, Matthew, come and be my disciple. Jesus, no. He works for the IRS. He's a tax collector. Now, who's going to listen to a tax collector? Who's going to listen to the gospel shared by someone who works for the IRS? Nobody likes the IRS. We would disqualify them right away, wouldn't we? What about James and John? The brothers James and John. James and John, be my disciples. Jesus, don't. These are two of the biggest mama's boys you ever seen in your life. You call them and your mama's going to be following you around all the time. And sure enough, in a couple of weeks, Jesus! Now when you go to the kingdom of heaven, can my boys sit next to you on the throne? Save the best seats for my boys because they're good boys and I love them. They're just a bunch of mama's boys. That can't be used of you. I mean, we can go all through this and see where God chose people to use that we really could disqualify. But see, how many are glad that God doesn't choose us by what we see in each other? This is an important statement. This is your Facebook statement of the day. I want you to put this on your Facebook today. God doesn't see you for who you are, but he sees you for who you can be. How many are glad of that today? That God looks at you, he doesn't see you for who you are, but he sees you for what you can be. That when he looks at us and he calls us, even though we don't see greatness in each other, he sees greatness in us. Even though we don't see righteousness in each other, he can see righteousness in you. Even though we don't see a lot of love between us, he can see love in you. Even though we don't see a lot of kindness there, he sees a person who can have a kind heart. He sees beyond what we see. And I'm so thankful he does. Because when people look at us, they don't see a lot, do they? People judge us by our past mistakes. God wants to use this person? Whatever. This person can't do anything right without failing. Well, congratulations. You can be a disciple. Because it's not important about how many times we fail. It's about how many times we get up and go forward. And even though we go through tough seasons in our life and we fall down, it's about getting back up and going forward. It's about allowing God to do his perfect will in our life. This is a great thing we see happening here. Peter messed up, and he failed forward. You know, Judas messed up at the same time as Peter. It was Judas, the disciple, who betrayed Christ and sold him out. And yet, Judas failed, and he couldn't deal with it. Judas couldn't forgive himself. Judas couldn't see God's forgiveness. And Judas went and committed suicide. Scripture says he hung himself. Peter went and prayed and repented. You see, one couldn't forgive himself, and the other person asked God to forgive him. We've got to learn that our failures do not have to be the death to us spiritually. Our failures are not what knocks us back down to starting all over again. We think, man, I've blown it. I got to go all the way back to the beginning. What's the use of trying? No, our failures are another way to grow. God, I'm realizing that I'm just a weak person and I need you more in my life more than ever. When I go through making a mistake, I realize, God, I do have some troubles in my life. God, I do have some addictions in my life. God, I do have some things I still need to work on in my life. But God, through your grace and your mercy, you're calling me out of this thing. God, you're calling me forward. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. We don't care where you've been. We want to care where you're going today. And we want to see God take you to the place that he's got a destiny in your life. I love this point. We see it very, very clear. The angel of the Lord in Mark chapter 16. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Look what it says. But he's talking to them, to Mary. He says, but he said to them, do not be alarmed, because you can't find Jesus' body. The stone's been rolled away. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples. And look what it says. And Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he has said to you. Now, we read this through, and we may not think a lot about it, but given the context, realize what's being happening here. Pete's just made a huge mistake. Peter just had the worst 24 hours spiritually he's ever had. He had the worst 24-hour period in his whole life. He's feeling so down. He's feeling like he's failed God so much that God can't even use me. God, I got to go back to being a fisherman. God, and he says, the voice of the Lord says, what? Tell his disciples and Peter, who thinks he's no longer worthy to be called a disciple. That's what's happening, because Peter thought he's no longer worthy to be called a disciple. So he says, tell his disciples and tell Peter to meet me in Galilee. I mean, of all the things that our Savior could have passed on that day, out of all the messages that God could have conveyed and conveyed right there, he took time to speak to the person who had failed the most. He says, you tell him, I want to meet him too. Not only do I want to meet him, but I'm calling him by name. You tell Pete. You tell Peter. Yeah, you tell Rock. I still want to see him in the gym. I still want to see him in Galilee. I still want to meet him there. It's the awesome principle about our Savior that we got to grasp, is that when we fail, he's still calling us forward. He's still calling us. And he's not disqualifying you. He's saying, all right, get back up. Let's go forward. Does God like it when we make mistakes? No, he hates it. Does he like it when we sin? No. Scripture is very clear that he hates sin. He despises sin. Sin's what nailed him to the cross. Sin is why he gave up his life for us. Sin is why he hung there, because of the sins of the world. They hung him to the cross. So does God and Jesus like sin? No. He can't stand sin. In fact, they can't coexist. But through his grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he has washed me away as white as snow. And it's through his mercy that even though I fail, I can step back up because I'm covered in the bloodline. I can step back up and say, through God's grace and mercy, I'm still called. I've still got a destiny. I've still got a purpose. I'm not going back to square one. I've got to get back up. I've got to dust myself off. I've got to make sure I repent and go forward. God, you're helping me. I've got to go forward in my walk with you. It's the very foundation that we learn to fall forward. When he said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. We think we're not worthy. But Jesus is telling Pete the first thing out of his mouth, Pete, I still want you to be my disciple. Pete, I've still got a calling for you. Pete, I've still got a place I want you to go. Today as we close, I want you just to bow your heads where you're at. I want to speak to those here this morning who maybe say, Pastor, as you're talking about falling and getting back up. In my life, I've fallen a lot in my life. And even right now, I want to speak to those who maybe in your life you say, Pastor, I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I never made that decision to ask him to forgive me my sins and to make things right. I would not embarrass you in any way at all. No one's looking around but me. I want to ask you, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to ask Jesus Christ as my Lord to be my Lord and Savior of my life. If I die today, I want to make sure that I am ready. Things are right between me and God. I'm ready to make that decision. Or maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I've lived so far away from God. Today I want to come back and renew that relationship with him. I bet you no one's looking around, but can you just raise where I can see it and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to make that decision today. Thank you. Anybody else want to join? That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that decision today. Don't leave here today if you need to make that decision. Take time. Say, this is it. I'm ready. I'm ready to make that decision. Anybody else that you want to join? Say, I'm ready to make a decision today. Life-changing decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. One more time. If that's you and you haven't raised your hand yet, raise it right now. Say, that's me. I'm ready to make that decision. Thank you. We're going to pray this prayer together before we close. And we're all going to say it with you, and especially those who raised your hands today. We want to say this prayer together. Repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart, we say, welcome to the family of God. That's good. Let's give my hand clap. If you raised your hand today, we have a free packet in the back of the information booth. You can stop by there. It's got a free Bible and some other things in there to tell you what to do next. Stop by there and pick one of those up as a free gift today. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. You need to be plugged into a church home somewhere with people who can support you, who can encourage you, and help you along this journey. Today's just the beginning. It's not the ending. It's just the beginning of an important walk with Jesus. He says, I turn away from the person I was, and even though I'm going to fall, because you're going to fall, I get back up and I go forward, growing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. How many today say, Pastor? In 2011, I want to declare that when I fall, I'm falling forward. Anybody hears that's me? I'm falling forward. I'm tired of falling back. I'm falling forward. Because we're going to fall. We're all going to fall at times. But we're declaring in our heart that when I fall, I'm going to fall forward. I refuse to fall back. That's a very powerful thing this morning. Declare in your heart that I am falling forward. Anybody hears that? That's me, Pastor, one more time. That's you, raise your hands. I'm ready to declare. If I fall, I'm going to fall forward. I refuse to fall back. Let's stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to say a prayer over you, then we're going to sing this chorus through together. But today, if that's you, you say, I'm declaring in my life that I'm going to fall forward. I'm going to invite you, if you feel comfortable doing this today, you can just raise your hands, a sign of surrender to God. We raise our hands, a sign of surrender. Father, right now, Lord, we raise our hands to you. God's saying that this year, Lord, as we fall, we were declaring in our heart that we're going to fall forward. We're not going to allow ourselves to go back and to fall and disqualify ourselves of what you've called in our heart. But God, we believe that, God, you're calling people, Lord, to go out of their comfort zone, God, to walk in the destiny that you've called for them. And God, we disqualify ourselves so much because we make mistakes and we don't feel like we're qualified. But God, today, God, you're restoring into their life, God, a passion, God, to serve you. A passion, God, to allow dreams to come again. A passion, God, to allow their destiny to come to fruition in their life. God, knowing that, God, failure is not final. But God, it's the righteous who gets back up and it goes forward. It's the righteous who gets back up and carries a cross every day, daily, and goes after you, pursues after you. It says, God, I refuse to keep a good man, a good woman down. But God, we're going forward. And God, we're not going to allow the enemy to put us back and to put us under his foot any longer. From now on, we're going to walk where God has called us to walk, through grace and mercy and the power and the growing. And God, today we declare in our hearts that, God, we are going forward. No matter what happens, God, we're going to walk forward. God, and I speak right now in the name of Jesus. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, that you are cleansing our minds, you're cleansing our hearts, God, and you're allowing us, God, with conviction, God, to get up and to go forward. Not to sit there and pity in our own sin, but God, to get up and to shake off the dust off our clothes and say, God, I'm going forward. God, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to be a victim, but God, I'm going to go forth, God, right now, God, in victory. God, knowing that you have given me grace and you're calling me out of my pit, you're calling me out of this junk I'm in, and God, I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to go back, Lord. I am going forward in the name of Jesus. God, I declare that in our hearts today, in our spirit today. May your Holy Spirit cement that in our heart. And Father, we love you together. We say amen. Amen. Let's sing that chorus with us.
Our God, he lives forever.
come forward, and he's going to close us out in prayer today. Let me say to you, we're going forward, amen? How many know we're going forward? If you believe that, if you got a hand clap praise, I'm going forward. Let me tell you again, it's so good to be with you today. I hope that you guys have had a great Christmas and you look forward to the new year. Be safe on those that are traveling. I know a lot of people are still traveling through this holiday, so be safe on the roads, and you guys have a great New Year's holiday, and I will see you next year as Pastor Joe comes to close.
Father God, we love you, and we are so thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to worship you today. Now today, Lord, as we go our ways, we ask, Lord, that you be with us. Father, let it not be till next year that we meet you again, but God, let us meet you daily on a daily basis. We ask your presence to follow us today. In Jesus' name, amen.